She went over to Grandma. "Here you are, Grandma Bag," she cried, and plunked it directly in her lap. "Ooch!" screamed Grandma, and the cat sprang in two bounds onto the dresser, where it arched and spat, fur stiffly on end. The Bagthorpes stared aghast, their worst fears apparently realized. Not so Daisy. "Oh, Grandma," she squealed, "you frightened him. Poor little pussy. Look at his little legs all shaking." Grandma did not obey this instruction. She was currently more interested in her own limbs than that of the second Thomas. She was cautiously sliding up her frock to inspect the state of the damage. When she glimpsed the blood and the torn stockings, she let out a faint cry and dropped the hem. "Mother dear, are you all right?" inquired Mrs. Bagthorpe anxiously. "I should like some brandy," Grandma replied faintly. As Mrs. Bagthorpe hurried off in search of this commodity, Grandma slowly and incredulously turned her gaze back toward her assailant. Now the whole point about the original Thomas was that, while he had spat at, scratched, and bit indiscriminately and without provocation almost everyone within a considerable radius, he had made Grandma herself a notable exception from his attentions. Possibly, as Mr. Bagthorpe pointed out, he had recognized in her a kindred spirit. He had actually lain in her lap and allowed her to stroke him, and had even sometimes, she claimed, purred. Grandma clearly had hoped and expected that the second Thomas would show exactly the same loathsome proclivities. Instead, here he was, arched and spitting, his wild eyes fixed rivetingly on herself, it being she who had screamed. It was a case, as Mr. Bagthorpe pointed out with delight, of the biter bit. Daisy then trotted forward. "Poor pussy," she said. "You come to me." "Daisy," moaned her mother protestingly. Daisy's hands and face were already within scratching and biting range. The kitten, astonishingly, relaxed. Daisy's chubby fingers went under his chin, making little scrabbling movements. She then lifted him unprotestingly into her arms. "He was frighted, poor little kit," she told everyone. "He likes me, don't you, little Tommy?" This seemed indisputable. The Bagthorpes were disappointed by this unexpected development. Up to this juncture, it had seemed possible that Grandma would reject the animal out of hand. If, however, the cat liked Daisy, she would certainly be inclined to review the matter. What happened next, therefore, was in the nature of a miracle. Great Aunt Lucy entered, leading Wong Fu. Instantly, Grandma and the kitten bristled. No one had expected to see the old lady reappear so soon after Daisy's ruthless estimate of her life expectancy. It had even seemed to them on the cards that she would never reappear again. "I think you had better take your animal out," Grandma told Aunt Lucy, taking the offensive. "And why is that?" inquired Aunt Lucy coolly. "Because you would not wish, presumably, to see its eyes scratched out," Grandma told her. "Wong Fu is not afraid of cats," replied the other. "Perhaps you should remove your animal from the room." The Bagthorpes watched this interchange with keen attention. It seemed likely that what the pair of them were working up to was a kind of cockfight. The Bagthorpes were always interested in anything of a competitive nature, and were most of them already mentally improvising a system of scoring. An impasse having now been reached, Grandma made a move to develop the situation. "Put the cat down, Daisy," she ordered. "It cannot be comfortable being held so tightly." The peak was straining at its leash and puffing and snorting. Jack felt that it more or less deserved to be attacked by Thomas II. Daisy, reluctantly, made to lower the kitten to the floor. At this, to the amazement of everyone, it began to whimper plaintively, and scrabble desperately to retain its hold on Daisy's pinafore. "The animal is clearly terrified," said Great Aunt Lucy smugly. "Pray do not put it down, or it will be bitten. Why, might I ask?" she went on, addressing herself to Grandma. "Have you elected to have a cat of that color? It is quite horrid." Jack held his breath. "The animal does not belong to me," replied Grandma, without turning a hair. "It belongs to Daisy, and is, I think, a very attractive shade." There was a moment's silence while this appalling falsehood sank in, and then a moderate babble set up. Its main contributors were Aunt Celia, who had always turned down her daughter's impassioned pleas for a pussy on the grounds that cats clawed out people's eyes, and Daisy herself made ecstatic by this generosity on Grandma's part. Daisy slackened her hold on the kitten in order to embrace Grandma. Aunt Lucy let go of Wong Fu's lead, and next minute the recently averted confrontation was taking place. It was not strictly a confrontation, in that the last thing Thomas II appeared to desire was to confront Wong Fu. And had Daisy released her hold on her newly acquired pet, and allowed it to jump to safety, little damage would have been done. In the event, a great deal of damage was done. Altogether, three people were bitten. Daisy herself, with her stranglehold on the kitten, Aunt Celia attempting to intervene, and Mr. Bagthorpe, who had come striding in from his study to find out what was going on. Jack could not help feeling that it was very bad luck for his father to be bitten, and Mr. Bagthorpe himself certainly thought so. "There is no justice under the sun," he declared, nursing his bleeding shin. Grandma disagreed. "You are always talking about poetic justice," she told him, "and now you are experiencing it. You have no just cause for complaint." Mr. Bagthorpe did a lot of very noisy complaining, both at the time and afterward. Despite the fact that it was Wong Fu who had bitten him, it was Uncle Parker, Daisy, and Grandma to whom he allocated all blame. He acted as if it had been they who had bitten him. All in all, it was a relief when Uncle Parker, with his family, and Mrs. Bagthorpe with her husband, drove off to the hospital in Isham for tetanus shots. Grandma was on the whole pleased with the way things had gone. "That animal of yours is not so silly as it looks," she told Great-Aunt Lucy, "though it certainly showed lack of discrimination in biting darling Daisy, who has a natural empathy with all living creatures, great and small." This was news to the rest of the Bagthorpes. The only living, as opposed to dead, creatures with whom Daisy had in their experience demonstrated any affinity were maggots. "Shall we be waiting breakfast until Henry returns from the hospital?" inquired Aunt Lucy, ignoring this criticism. "Darling Wong Fu and I are now ready for our kippers."